I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming because my feet are hovering just above the ground. And however hard I try, I can't seem to bring them down again. I only came out here for some peace and quiet. And because of that sound, whatever it is. And that's when I see her. Her back is towards me. A man's arm is round her waist. His other arm is resting lightly on her shoulder.
Not now.
Come on.
Long, dark hair reaches down to her waist. The light from the window catches it. And then he slowly turns towards me.
Dean? Is that you?
Laura!
What are you doing out here?
Oh. Laura, wake up.
What is it?
You're talking again.
Oh, I had that dream.
Don't forget your interview.
Oh, God, my interview. What time is it?
Time to wake up.
I am awake.
I know I'm awake. Because I put my feet out of the bed and they reach all the way to the ground. I know I'm awake because Dean isn't kissing some dark-haired woman in the middle of wherever. He's here with me in London.
You off now?
Almost.
Is that what you're wearing?
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. If they're looking for glamour.
What, you think it looks trashy?
No.
You can't just come out with something like that.
Like what?
Well, like I look like a babe.
It was a compliment.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you look great. Come here.
Dean.
What?
You're soaking wet.
All right. Just don't tell me I never try.
You're never here to try.
I have a job to do.
18 hours a day, 7 days a week. I haven't seen you for the last 3 months.
I'm here now.
Yes, now I have to go to an interview.
I rest my case.
What case?
I'm innocent.
This is pointless.
It's not so pointless.
Isn't it?
Oh, no, it isn't.
I'm going to be late.
So? Be late.
You want me to get this job or not?
Of course I do.
Then put something on, for goodness sake, before I give it all up and drag you back to bed.
Perhaps it's the dream still hanging over me.
Why don't you come home early for once?
But why do I feel he's done this on purpose?
I can't at the moment, not with this project.
Just when he knows that I have to go out.
I'm beginning to wish you never got this promotion.
Oh, I couldn't sell household cleaners for the rest of my life.
I don't even know what you're doing anymore.
I keep trying to tell you.
Some stupid development.
Why don't you come with me on Wednesday?
What's happening on Wednesday?
We're launching it.
Launching what?
The Millennium Development.
Oh, I hate those functions.
You could see for yourself.
I want to meet this new boss of yours.
Laura.
Whoever she is.
It's 8:20.
Oh, God.
You better get moving.
I'm never going to make it.
No, you'll make it. Don't panic.
Just wish me luck.
Go down to the end and grab a taxi.
Okay, I'll see you later.
And somehow I make it. The traffic is light. The day is clear. The gods are on my side today. It's just the dream.
Hello. My name's Laura McLaren.
It still hovers round me like the morning mist.
I'm here for an interview.
Trying to tell me something.
If you'd like to have a seat for just a second.
Something about the kind of day it is.
He's not quite ready for you yet.
Or what the hell I'm doing here.
He's not quite ready for anything yet.
I beg your pardon?
They come down here, they mooch around, they wander around like they own the place, and then they get cross when you can't find a file. Did you bring a CV?
I sent one earlier.
I'm sure you did. Unfortunately. What's this? Is your name Lorna?
Laura.
Lorna McDowell?
Laura McLaren.
I don't know why anyone would want to work in Norfolk.
Right now I'd work anywhere.
Especially with that man.
What's wrong with him?
Mr. Stone is God's own gift to the human race. It's not my fault I couldn't find your file.
Well, I'm sure he'll forgive you.
Yes, I'm sure he will. Oh, look, a flying pig.
A
Amelia, would you send Miss McLaren through now, please?
McLaren.
I think you'll find that's me.
Oh, yes. I can't find her CV, Mr. Stone.
Of course you can't find it, Amelia, because it's here on my desk.
I thought you said...
Please come in, Miss McLaren.
Thank you. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Sorry about the confusion. Sit down.
Thank you. Your secretary was perfectly charming.
Tact is commendable in an interviewee.
And even more commendable in a secretary.
Ah, I can see I'm going to like you, Miss McLaren. My name is Howard Stone. I'm heading up a new regional office of the Environment Agency.
In Norfolk.
Now, perhaps we could start with some history.
He doesn't look at me.
7 years at Tonbridge Grammar School, good A-levels. Degree at Cambridge, very good degree in natural sciences.
Oh, chemistry, mainly.
I can't tell what he's thinking.
And you graduated...
Well, maybe I can.
Some years ago now.
I did a master's degree.
In environmental management.
At Imperial College. Mm.
These days, you can hardly sneeze without getting some kind of degree.
Well, it's one of the best in the field.
I'm afraid I don't have two letters to rub together after my name, and I don't give a tinker's cuss for most of those who do. Ivory trash is what I call them.
I like to think it's done me some good.
Yes, yes, I'm sure it has. Point is, Ms. McLaren, I need some evidence of your practical ability.
My MSc research project.
Which was?
I did a placement with a water company looking at the formation of disinfectant byproducts in public water supplies.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, as you probably know, there's quite a strong anti-chlorine lobby these days. The water company wanted to know if they should take it seriously.
And should they?
It depends.
That's a good scientific answer.
Chlorination is still probably the cheapest way of preventing microbial recontamination of piped water supplies.
But?
But elevated trihalomethane levels are routinely detectable in chlorinated tap water.
So, what?
So, trihalomethanes are implicated in a number of human health effects.
Such as?
Respiratory and renal malfunctions, neurological disorders, cancer.
And is there a solution to this unfortunate dilemma?
I'm not sure I follow.
Well, you're telling me we routinely purify our tap water to make sure it stays free of nasty bugs?
Yes.
Only to find that the chemicals we use are themselves not as pure as the driven snow.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
How would you put it?
I would say that... the art of water quality management is in balancing microbial against chemical risks.
Straight out of a textbook. What does it mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything, really. We already use less chlorine in our water than they do in the States. The question is, could we possibly reduce it even further?
No one wants cholera back again.
Actually, there's good evidence that cholera disappeared mainly as a result of proper sewage management.
Try telling that to the public liability insurers.
Exactly.
So, we are stuck on the horns of a modern dilemma.
Of course, if the water was cleaner in the first place, maybe we could do with less chlorine.
Well, you don't expect the water companies to go out cleaning up industry.
Well, it's in the public interest to do it.
But it takes a lot more investment than slipping some chlorine into the water.
I know, I have a tendency to be idealistic.
There's nothing wrong with idealism. As long as you know how to leave it behind when you get to work.
Well, isn't that rather cynical? I mean, sorry.
Remind me how old you are, Miss McLaren.
I'm 27.
And you haven't yet had a full-time job.
I thought that's where he was leading us.
I did some charity work.
What sort of work?
Care assistant, working with old people.
Well, not exactly what you're qualified for.
No.
So what took you into that field?
Shortly after I graduated, my parents died.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean, it wasn't tragic or anything like that. My father died suddenly in his sleep.
Not a bad way to go.
Except for those who get left behind. My mother. There was quite a lot of looking after to do.
No brothers or sisters?
One brother. He lives in the States. My fiancé. He was very understanding.
You're engaged to be married?
Yes.
You realise this job's in Norfolk?
Yes, he's a... well, he might be able to work in the area... if I get the job.
What does he do?
He's just been appointed as a PR manager for a company called Arcadian.
Arcadian Enterprises?
Yes, you know it.
They have a number of investments in Norfolk.
Exactly, and he could work up there, perhaps.
Now, tell me about this voluntary work.
It was after my mother died. I spent so much time visiting her in the nursing home, I wound up helping out.
This was before your MSc.
Working there was what got me interested in water pollution. One of the old dears had Alzheimer's.
From the water supply?
Yes, there's some evidence of a link between Alzheimer's and aluminium in the water.
Oh, it's controversial.
Well, Mrs. Pearson thought she was being brainwashed by Martians. That's even more controversial.
Yes, maybe.
The point is, there were so many things I still didn't know, so, well, that's why I did the MSc. Ivory trash, that's me.
Ah, not put like that, you're not.
Well, you probably don't want to know all this personal stuff.
It sometimes helps to get an all-round view of a person. I have a daughter. Not much younger than you.
Really? Oh, you don't look old enough.
Did someone coach you in interview technique, or does it just come natural?
Oh, sorry, was that very rude of me?
Not at all. It was very flattering. Well, perhaps we could talk now about water pollution.
Yes, yes, of course.
If I were to ask you what are the main pollution threats to our water supply systems, what would you say?
Goodness, nitrates, maybe?
From?
Agriculture. Pathogenic contamination. Microorganisms, mainly from sewage. Industrial discharges. Development.
In what sense?
The land is drained. Abstraction rises. The water table falls.
He started to look at me now, as if I've proved myself worth it. I still can't tell what he's thinking. I can't even tell what I'm thinking. I don't even know if I want this job, so far away from Dean.
To live in Norfolk. What's wrong with it? It's cold, it's windy, and it's flat. I hate it.
Well, some parts are nice.
What did he say? Did he offer you the job?
He said he had more candidates to see.
Well, good luck to them, I say. Grubbing about in the dirt with the bugs and the bitterns.
With the what?
Amelia!
I'd better go, his lordship's waiting.
Wait a minute.
Can you find your way out all right?
What did you say about the bugs and stuff?
Good luck, dear.
Wait!
She's gone. But it doesn't really matter. She's already told me what I needed to know. A piece of a puzzle has fallen into place. And I can't help thinking how peculiar it is that my subconscious mind was right there with me, ahead of me even, pulling my past together with my possible future, even before I got there myself. Because in my mind, I hear that sound again. The sound I dreamt about this morning. And now, thanks to Amelia, I remember where I was when I heard it before.
Grubbing about with the bugs and the bitterns.
In Norfolk. It was the summer just after our finals, when Dean and I stayed with Barney and his sister in Norfolk.
It's only the males that boom. There's not many left these days.
How come?
Well, nowhere left to breed. They only nest in wetland areas, reed beds mainly, and it's all getting drained down or grown over.
Well, that's evolution for you, Barney. Success favours the adaptable.
Well, what do they look like?
Well, I've never seen one, but I'm told they're odd-looking things. Spend most of their time skulking around trying not to be noticed. And if anyone does get within a stone's throw, they stick their necks straight up in the air, freeze rigid, and pretend to be a reed.
Oh, I like the sound of them.
Well, well,
Well, if it isn't my baby brother, back home for the summer.
Hello, Lydia.
You've all passed your exams, then?
We don't know yet.
I thought the results came out today.
We had to leave before they went up.
They promised to phone us.
They'll still be there tomorrow. And who is this ravishing creature?
This is Laura. Laura, meet my sister, Lydia.
Hi. I'm pleased to meet you.
So this is what a real live college girl looks like.
Well, we're not so different from college boys.
Except in the obvious way.
Of course.
Well, why don't you college boys go off and play with your difference while I show Laura the house?
Certainly is very beautiful. In all this view.
Flat, isn't it?
Don't mangle her, sis. Dean wants her back in one piece.
Well, whistle for it, Dean. It's me who's lord of the manor, not you.
Where's your husband?
Oh, he's back in Cape Town. He doesn't really like it here. So Barney and I get the run of the place. Come and see inside.
I don't think Dean and I were still in the first flush of love. We'd been together already 2 years by then. But we were both of us still very young.
Laura! Laura, come here!
What is it?
There's a jacuzzi in the bathroom!
You're kidding!
Young enough to be wildly impressed by the trappings of conspicuous wealth.
They must be really loaded.
She married some rich guy.
The one in South Africa?
He's older than her. He's on his last legs.
So then it'll all be hers.
And Barney's.
Blimey. This jacuzzi is bigger than my parents' whole house.
Let's try it out.
The party starts in half an hour.
So?
So we haven't got time.
We've got half an hour.
Right then.
Get your kit off.
Let's do it.
And now that I come to think about it, that was what we had in common, the two of us. We both came from ordinary, middle-class families who'd known very little in the way of luxury and quite a lot in the way of hard work. Perhaps that's why, 2 years before, Helen decided we'd make a good match.
Laura, there you are. I was looking for you.
Hello, Helen. When did you come up?
Oh, God, this morning. I went to a really humongous party in London last night. Some friend of Sally. I got absolutely smattered. Oh, but listen. Dean, come over here. I want you to meet the body beautiful.
What?
All right, Helen.
Dean Finch, meet Laura McLaren. Laura, meet Dean.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Likewise.
Dean's a friend of Barney.
Listen, I was getting a drink.
Mine's a gin and tonic.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Oh, come on, Laura. You can't leave me drinking on my own again.
All right, well, half a lager then. Thank you.
My pleasure. Back in a tick.
You're such a babe, let me tell you. You remember that party I told you about at King's, where we all went skinny dipping in the river?
Poor Helen. We would all of us probably cringe to see the way we behaved back then. But we were young. It was summer. We'd done being nervous, feeling homesick and trying too hard. And at the beginning of our first summer in Cambridge, we were all just happy to be there.
Well, cheers.
Thanks for the drink. Cheers. Hang on a sec, you two. I must catch Sally and thank her for the party.
She's such a socialite.
I like her.
Oh, she's as dizzy as a vampire bat in broad daylight. I mean, I'm all for having a good time, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, I never forget what I'm doing here.
And what are you doing here, Dean Finch?
Well, I'm here to get a degree, of course. First class, if possible. And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Oh, why should you be?
I'm not.
And when you've got your first class degree?
I'm out of here. I'm going to find myself a job that offers me masses of money, a load of perks, a good pension.
Company car?
And I'm going to take my parents on the first decent holiday they've ever had in their life.
Wow, I'm impressed.
There's no need to make fun of me.
I'm not making fun...
Dean, I'm not making fun of you.
Where's he off to?
Damn.
Don't tell me you blew it.
I blew it.
I should have warned you. He's as prickly as a porcupine on heat. Until you get to know him, of course. And then he's just a pussycat.
And whose pussycat is he?
Oh, God! Not mine! Oh, no! I thought you might like to play with him.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say no if you could tame him a little.
You just leave it to Auntie Helen, my dear. I'll see what I can do.
But Helen's ambitions for me and Dean were put on hold for a while, and so was the frantic social whirl in which we lived, because within a few weeks, the exams were upon us. And matching up me and Dean was the last thing on Helen's mind.
Helen!
Laura!
medicine.
I can't do it. I just can't do organic chemistry.
Of course you can. Just go over your lecture notes.
I didn't take any. I don't have any.
Well, do you want to borrow mine?
Won't you need them?
No, I'm not using them now.
The exam's tomorrow.
I'm using revision notes.
What are you telling me? You've even got notes of your notes to revise from.
Take them. Go on. Do 3 or 4 hours work and then get some sleep.
And leave me alone to revise, you might have said.
Laura, you are so beautiful. I know a lot of people here, but you're the only one who cares for me.
Oh, that's nonsense, Helen. Everybody loves you. Now go and revise.
Maybe it was nonsense. Maybe it wasn't. There were plenty of people who wanted to be seen with Helen in the college bar, but none of them seemed surprised when she didn't show up for the last exam.
You ready for this?
Yeah, just about. I was looking for Helen. You don't know where she is.
Oh, I haven't seen her. You seen Helen, Barney?
Oh, are you kidding? I could have told you day one she'd flunk.
I knocked on the door, didn't get a reply.
She's gone down early, is my bet.
Yeah, sent down, more like.
Mind you, they haven't sent you down yet, and how many times have you had a reset?
Lost count.
So there's hope for Auntie Helen yet.
Except, of course, that Helen isn't second Cox for the blues.
It was later that day, and the exams were finished, before we discovered what had happened. Dean discovered it.
Dean? Oh, you startled me.
Sorry. Can I, can I come in for a sec?
Sure. I'm just trying to clear up.
Fun, isn't it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to the end of term. It's like you live for 8 weeks on a roller coaster here. Hardly even take a breath. I need to come up for air.
Yeah, right. Well, don't breathe too soon. The coaster hasn't finished rolling yet.
What do you mean?
I spoke to the porter.
Oh, congratulations.
About Helen.
Oh, God. What's happened?
She only bloody went and tried to top herself.
You're kidding. When?
Last night.
Well, what did she do?
Pills, as far as I can tell. Washed down with a load of gin.
Oh, God. Is she all right? I mean, well, is she alive? Where is she?
She's in hospital.
Thanks for coming to tell me.
Oh, no probs. The thing is...
Yes?
I'm going to visit her and I wondered...
You want me to come with you?
Oh, would you mind?
Of course not.
Oh, good. Would it be okay to go now?
Why not?
Great. I've got Barney's car outside.
All right, let's go.
So that was it. Though neither of us knew it yet. My first date with the body beautiful was a visit to the suicide ward.
Oh, Helen. Helen.
Hello, you two.
How are you feeling?
Alive. Just.
Is it... does it, is there a toilet here?
Just down the end. Oh. Ask the nurse. Blonde one. Try not to drool.
Thanks. I'll be back.
Bless, poor love. Isn't fair on him.
He wanted to come.
I told you I'd get you two together somehow.
Oh, Helen. Talk to me. Tell me you didn't mean it.
Listen, Laura, lovey. Don't try to lecture me, okay? I know I've been stupid. In more ways than one. When they let me out of here, I'm going home.
Well, will they let you resit?
I don't want to resit. I want to go home. I'm taking the first train out of here and I'm going back to Bristol to marry Bobby Thompson.
To what? To Helen. Who is Bobby Thompson?
You know what, babe? It all isn't worth it. I thought I could come to Cambridge and be different. I thought I could escape from being that home-loving girl with her doting man. Oh, he's a good man, believe me. And he's ready to give me a whole brood of screaming, dirty, adorable kids. But I wanted to be classy. I wanted to be brainy. I wanted to be you.
Oh, you're joking.
You are wonderful. You're intelligent. You're beautiful.
Helen, look at yourself. You're all those things.
No. No. No.
In a different way, you are.
Yes. Maybe. Am I? Will you write to me?
Of course I will. But maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe you'll come back and resit.
I won't change my mind. I'm going home. Here he is. Poor love.
I found it. The loo. It... What? What are you laughing about?
What were we laughing about? Life? Survival? Friendship? All the things that are precious. God, I could do with a slice of Helen right now. She'll be able to help me make sense of all this. London, Dean, a relationship I don't know what to do with anymore. And now the possibility of a job, away from Dean, in Norfolk. Norfolk, of all places, where 2 years after we came together, Dean and I very nearly came apart again.
We'll be down in a sec.
I'm dripping wet. I'm soaked.
Come on, Laura. They're all waiting for
Who's
us.
Who's waiting?
Barney is, and Lydia.
Oh, let them wait.
Kiss me. Go on.
Get dressed, for goodness sake.
Get dressed. Get dressed. Put on your finery and make the very most of your last few moments of youth. For outside, the night is dark, and the strange, faint cry of an unseen bird is luring you towards adulthood.
Are you coming or what?
Still drunk from love, half damp from the jacuzzi and struggling to readjust our clothes, we tumble down the stairs. Thus it is we navigate the turning points of life.
So when do you start?
Well, as soon as possible.
Congratulations.
Let me get this straight, Dean. You're telling me you want me to take it?
Why shouldn't I?
Because the job's in Norfolk and you're in London.
Yeah, but I'm up there anyway some of the time and you could come down at weekends.
I suppose.
And besides, I'm sick of you moping around at home.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, you haven't exactly been Miss Life and Soul in the last few months.
You haven't exactly been there to notice.
Laura, do you think we could have this conversation some other time? I really have to mingle tonight.
Sure, let's mingle.
Finch!
Remind me who this over is.
Sir Robert Houghton, chairman of the board.
Good evening, Finch. You've done a good job here. You and Mrs. Longman. Oh,
thank you, sir.
And this is,
My fiancée, Laura McLaren.
Absolutely delighted to meet you.
We've met before.
Laura.
Several times, in fact.
Good heavens, of course we have. Yeah, of course we have. Well, if you don't mind me saying so, my dear, you've never looked this lovely to my tired old eyes.
Perhaps they're a little more tired than they were the last time.
Oh, and older, too. There's absolutely no doubt of it. I see you haven't succeeded in taming this wild child yet.
Not yet, sir, no.
Good. Then I hope you never will. Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
I gather there's going to be music later on, Mr. Houghton.
Oh, please, call me Robert, my dear. Or Sir Robert, if you insist.
Are we allowed to know what sort of band it's going to be, Robert?
Well, damned if I have the slightest clue, girl. You'd better ask your man here.
See?
I'm not exactly sure. Something Latin American. It's really, Mrs. Longman who makes those kind of choices.
She keeps a pretty tight rein on you all, doesn't she?
She's formidable, sir.
Formidable. Yes, that describes her pretty well. At any rate, I'd like you to know, my dear, that I was once very nimble on my feet and would count it an honour to trip a light fandango with you later on. That is, if...
Of course, sir.
If the lady would be so kind as to give me that pleasure.
Right.
Let's just see if your tired old feet are up for it when the time comes, shall we?
Oh, excellent. Sir Michael, there you are. I'm so glad.
Goodness sake, Laura. You could at least make an effort.
You think I'm not making an effort?
I think you're making me look an idiot in front of my boss.
Oh, grow up, Dean, why don't you? Couldn't you see he was taking a great delight in teasing the pants off you?
What?
All I did was play along. In case you didn't realise it, that's just what company wives are supposed to do. So back off me, will you?
All right. I'm sorry. I'm just a bit edgy.
Who are you looking for?
Huh? No one.
This boss of yours I'm not allowed to meet?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course you can meet her. You will meet her.
This is a bit different.
Good, isn't it?
Seems more lively than the last one I came to.
You need to make an impression.
An impression on who?
Investors, contractors, counsellors, everyone, really. Good evening.
Tell me again what you're developing.
It's like a big out-of-town complex. Massive. It's the biggest investment in the Arcadian portfolio, and it's important for me personally, so it happens. All right, Jeff.
Why for you personally?
Because I'm managing the whole PR side of it.
Well, that's why they promoted you.
I think it's some kind of testing ground. If I do well here, I'm in for life.
I thought you were already in for life.
I'm speaking metaphorically.
Well, speak plain English for a change.
Hello there.
And explain to me why your whole life these days revolves around this stupid thing.
Because it's important, okay?
Okay.
And if you could just accept that.
I accept it.
And give me a little help from time to time, then just...
What?
I don't know.
What, shut up and stay at home?
Whatever.
Like I've done, well, for the last 3 months?
Oh, you're driving me crazy.
Fine. Well, the last thing I want to do is drive you crazy. I'll leave you to it. Which way to the ladies' room?
Laura. Good evening. I'm so glad you could make it. Looks like being an interesting evening for all of us.
I'm behaving badly. I know I am. I just find these things so impossible to cope with. Perhaps I should go to Norfolk. At least we'd be out of each other's hair. And maybe when we saw each other, it would be because we wanted to see each other and... not because we happen to live in the same flat together and sleep in the same bed.
Come on, Laura. Pull yourself together. Put on your party face and make the bloody most of it. Oh, hi.
Hello.
It's just giving myself a pep talk.
We all need to do that from time to time.
You can say that again. Oh, my God. What is it? It's Lydia, isn't it? We've met before.
I don't think so.
We have. I'm Laura.
Laura who?
Laura McLaren. I'm Dean's fiancée.
I'm sorry, you'll have to excuse me. I'm on stage in a few minutes.
You're not telling me you've forgotten.
Just some small speeches to mark the launch. Nothing too onerous.
We came to your house in Norfolk.
While I have.
Wait. Good God.
And now I'm sweating. What's she doing here? Lydia. I know it was her. But why is she here? And why does she pretend not to know me? By the time I've recovered my equilibrium, she's already on stage in front of the mic.
Arcadian, we pride ourselves on being able to recognise and provide for the finer things in life. But of course, and sad though this may be, life is not solely composed of sensual pleasures. Business is an equally important component of the vital mix. Nobody knows that better than our venerable chairman.
You bet they don't.
The citation for his recent knighthood applauds an entrepreneurial spirit who has made an outstanding contribution to the competitiveness of the UK economy. Who better than to introduce the latest and the most ambitious investment in Arcadian history? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sir Robert Hutton.
Let's hear what the old villain has to say for himself.
Excuse me?
Alex Sawyer. Don't believe we've met.
Laura McLaren.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, where shall I begin?
Evidently you're not a company man.
Neither are you, from the look on your face.
At the beginning, perhaps.
Oh dear, was I that obvious?
When I was a young boy, my father said to me, "Whatever you do, Bobby, wherever you go, you must never forget what makes the world go round." And then he asked me what I thought made the world go round. And I said to him that from all that I could see of the world, it was probably money. But actually, it wasn't money my father had in mind. And he made me think again. After a bit of reflection, I said, I supposed that maybe it was people. Yeah. And here at Arcadian Enterprises, we have always put people at the heart of our business. Ask anyone around here. We care about our customers. We care about our employees. We care about our business partners. Although some of those can hardly be called people at all. You know who you are out there. Yeah, I'm joking, of course. It's been one of the greatest pleasures of my working life to have formed close associations with such formidable business names as you see on the display on my right. This Millennium Development, which we are launching tonight, is really a monument to our concern for people. It's £1 billion investment in the Norfolk community.
It's a Norfolk thing.
Worse luck.
Leisure, commerce, sports, tourism rolled into one spectacular development. And people are at the heart of it. People are as important as life itself, Bobby, is what my father told me. But they don't make the world go round. In point of fact, he said to me, nothing makes the world go round. Just goes on round of its own sweet will. And, of course, he was absolutely right. The world was set in motion way back before the dawn of time. And it continues in that motion day in, day out, whatever any of us may say or do. Whether we're right or wrong, whether we're good or bad, whether we laugh or we cry, will make not the slightest jot of difference. In business, as in life, we gain nothing by standing still. The world will go on turning. The forces that once set it on its relentless path are now long gone, and it's left up to us to ensure it becomes a better place for our children and for their children.
He's a canny old bastard.
This development, if we are successful in gaining planning permission for it, continues a long, long line of investment by Arcadian Enterprises in East Anglia. I was born in Burnham Thorpe, you know.
Just like Lord Nelson.
And it's a line of investment I'm proud to be associated with. A line of investment I like to think has done more for the Brecklands, more for the Broads,
more for
and
pocket.
More for Britain than anything Lord Nelson did at the Battle of Trafalgar. And when we finally cut the ribbon on the Millennium Development in Norfolk, maybe 2, maybe 3 years from now, I hope that the people of East Anglia will join us all in proclaiming, Et in Arcadia Io, even I have been in paradise.
I have to admit, he has a way with an audience.
Well, the captain would, aren't you?
Not entirely. You've got to give him more credit than that. They've drawn in as many of the great and good as they can lay their hands on. I wouldn't be surprised if Sir Michael was here somewhere.
Oh, he is. I mean, well, I saw Sir Robert talking to someone called Sir Michael earlier. Who is he?
Sir Michael Newby, Coosey. He's the person most likely to preside over the public inquiry if this thing ever goes that far. Clever, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention for just a few moments.
How come you know so much about this?
I shan't keep you long from the wine and the song.
I'm coordinating a local opposition.
You would.
But there are just a few housekeeping announcements.
I'm stirring up locals to fight this nonsense off.
Food!
God, you've got a nerve.
Tell me about it.
A sumptuous buffet is now being served in the green room to my right. Don't all rush at once.
Oh, the mood these guys are in, they'll lynch you if they find that out.
Because, to my left, in the boardroom, you'll find a lot more information about Arcadian Enterprises, including a three-dimensional holographic model of our development proposals in Norfolk.
This I must see.
Please feel free to spend as much time in either of these rooms as you like. Thank you all very much for coming, and have a wonderful evening.
Do you know that one?
Well, everyone knows Lydia Longman.
Well, what the hell's she doing here?
She's the Arcadian spin doctor.
She's what?
She's ruthless.
But what does she do?
She manages her image. She invents the public face of Arcadian Enterprises.
So, would she be involved in their PR department?
Are you kidding? She runs it. They don't make a move without her consent.
And what did you say her name was?
Lydia Longman.
Mrs. Longman?
Yeah.
She's Dean's new boss.
She's what?
Lydia is Dean's new boss.
Oh, I'm sorry, who's Dean?
My fiancé.
Oh, great.
I wonder he hasn't introduced me.
Your fiancée works for Arcadia.
I wonder I haven't been allowed to meet her.
You might have told me before I perjured myself.
Barney's sister Lydia. His dean's new boss. The room is beginning to spin. Oh,
is something wrong?
The floor begins to execute an undulating motion.
You look as white as a sheet.
I'm sliding along the deck of a ship which is pitching wildly in mountainous seas.
Should I try and get you a glass of water, perhaps?
Would you excuse me just for a moment? I think I need some... I put out an arm to steady myself, and another arm reaches out to support it. A part of me notes that this other arm is as solid as a rock. But the rest of the world is gyrating with an alarming motion, and a voice in my head is screaming, Dean! You bastard, Dean! Please tell me it isn't true! And then the cold air hits my face, and I feel a rush of wind in my hair. I resist the urge to be wildly sick.
Stoke Newington, please.
It's cold inside the taxi. I can't stop shivering. The whole of my life has suddenly become as bleak and empty as the February rain, which starts to fall again, somewhere north of Islington Green. It was the summer just after our finals. It was the day our results came through.
You've all passed your exams, then?
We don't know yet.
I thought your results came out today.
We had to leave before they went out.
They promised to phone us.
Well, we're in no rush to find out.
You're in no rush to find out.
We can find out tomorrow.
Personally, I couldn't care less if I never find out.
That's because you already know.
You better not fail again, little brother.
Can we talk about something else, please?
You fail again, you're out of here. Why don't we just forget it all, just for tonight, when I thought we were here to have fun?
You are, my little angel, and you shall have fun. We'll all have fun, won't we, Bernie? What?
These people are my friends, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about.
My sister has a strange sense of humour.
Oh, don't take any notice of him. I promise you an evening of pure entertainment. Why don't you show Dean and Laura their room, Barney? Do something useful for a change.
If you'd asked me, I'd say, maybe. I don't know. Maybe she had a chip on her shoulder or something like that. And that maybe it was something to do with Barney and Cambridge.
Where do they come from, Dean?
Who?
Barney and Lydia.
No idea.
Have you met his parents?
As far as I know, he hasn't got any.
Why?
Well, just wondered. Oh, she's scary.
Don't be ridiculous. Pass my socks. Yeah. Oh.
There you are. Do you think she's attractive?
Yeah, I suppose.
Mm. She certainly keeps Barney on a short leash.
She just wants him to do well, big sister and all that. I think it's sweet.
Are you kids coming down or what?
I wonder if Barney thinks it's sweet.
Barney knows which side his bread is buttered. Right, I'm ready.
Okay, come on.
It was difficult to tell what Barney thought. He wasn't really interested in passing his exams. He wasn't really interested in anything. Not girls, not rowing. Although he was good enough at both. He was interested in getting very drunk.
Oh, you're nuts, mate. Listen. You take this bird, whatever it is.
What bird?
The foghorn bird.
It's a bittern.
Whatever. And say someone comes along with a great fat stick and they're going to beat the crap out of it.
It sticks its head up in the air and pretends to be a reed.
How does it know how to do that?
It's an instinct.
Exactly. It's a survival instinct. The fittest survive. That's what I'm saying.
And that's why you choose to get fit.
It may look like I choose, but in fact I'm only doing it because...
Because you're a first-class dork with mush for brains, yeah.
Because I have an instinct to make myself attractive to the opposite sex.
Oh. Will you guys ever give up?
I mean, to Laura. Make myself attractive to Laura, I mean.
So
So how come I never made that choice?
Because you're a slob.
You mean you have an instinct to get fit and I have an instinct to be a slob?
Exactly. We're both just minding our business, grubbing about in the dirt, when along comes this stranger. Hello, Lid.
All right, boys.
So, what do we do?
Still arguing.
We both stick our heads in the air.
Only my head looks like a reed, and yours doesn't.
You're the one who survives.
And you get the crap beaten out of you by a man with a stick.
Aren't they just so sweet?
This was a serious argument till you came along.
Oh, I've had it with serious arguments.
I'll drink to that.
Let's all drink to that. Mm. I've saved us a bottle of fizz.
Nice one, Lynn. Oh, I love this woman.
Where's everyone gone? Gone home to bed. And now it's just me and the children. Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Mm. Now, all we need is something to celebrate.
What a pity we don't have our results.
Assuming they are something to celebrate.
Yeah.
I wonder why the office didn't phone. I asked them to.
Maybe they did.
No, we've been here all night. We would have heard it.
Maybe we did.
Lydia, what are you talking about?
Did they phone while we were all upstairs?
Have you got the results?
She's got the results.
Oh, God, I'm going to bed.
You're not going anywhere.
Look, I don't want to know.
And neither are you.
So, come on, then. Tell us what you know.
Tush, tush.
You think it's going to be that easy?
You must all have patience.
Oh. Someone stop her before she goes too far.
What's she doing? I mean, I don't understand.
She's playing a game.
We agreed we could wait.
You agreed you could wait, Laura. Other people wanted to know.
Well, I wanted to know.
Dean wanted to know. Dean, don't do this.
I'm not doing anything.
Poor Laura. It's me who's doing it.
Why?
You'd never even guess. Oh,
just tell us, for God's sake. Tell us what you know.
If we're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin.
I'm very drunk, Barney. Oh, your sister is incredibly funny.
You're very drunk, Dean.
Oh, chill out, Laura. What's wrong with you?
In my hand, I have three little envelopes. I'm going to give one of them to each of you. Don't turn them over yet. This is stupid. Now, I want Barney to turn his envelope over first. Barney, tell us whose result you have.
Oh. Laura's.
No, I don't want to know. Not like this.
You don't have a choice. I want to find out in my own way, my own good time.
I'm afraid that's very ungracious. I am your hostess, remember? Listen, please. This isn't fair. It isn't right.
Oh, I think it's perfectly fair. You come to my house. You eat my food. You sleep in my bed. You make love in my jacuzzi.
Oh, God. Please open the earth and swallow me up.
Oh, hang on a minute. How do you know we...
Dean, for God's sake, shut
up. Open the envelope, Barney.
Congratulations, Laura.
What? What did she get? Tell us what she got.
I don't want to know.
She got a first.
A what?
You're joking.
She got a first-class degree from Cambridge University.
Congratulations, Laura.
And the way she said it made me sick to my stomach. I wanted to leave, but I was frightened that something worse would happen.
Now it's Laura's turn. Tell us whose results you have in your envelope, my little first-class honours graduate.
Dean's.
Are you going to tell us what it says?
I'm not doing it.
But surely that's not fair. You've had your result, now Dean wants his.
Well, I'm not sure.
Of course you do. You're dying to know. You've worked so hard to get this.
I guess.
What result do you want, Dean?
I really don't mind.
Oh, well, that's fine, then. He doesn't mind. Open the envelope, please, Laura.
I don't want to.
I know you don't want to.
I've got someone else to it.
Just open the envelope. Please read us what it says.
It says... I'm sorry, I can't.
Oh, give that thing to me, for goodness sake.
Don't worry, Laura, she's nuts.
It says he got a second.
That bitch!
Congratulations, mate, it's a good result.
It's an excellent result. Except, of course, if you were hoping for the first.
I thought I'd done enough.
But, hey, cheer up. up. Who needs a first when you have the sweetest baby face in all the world and the body to die for? Congratulations, Dean.
You really think it's a good result?
Of course it is. Of course it is. I know a lot of people who would snap up a Cambridge graduate with a degree like that.
Laura? What the hell are you crying for?
No.
She's emotional, poor love. It's understandable. But it's turned out pretty well so far, don't you think? Of course, we've still got one more envelope to open. It's your turn, Dean.
You know what's in this envelope, don't you, Lydia?
If you say so.
Well, listen. I don't give a damn if he passed or not. But I'm not opening this envelope. And if you're thinking of chucking Barney out on the streets just because he failed some stupid test, then get this straight. We'll all go.
Don't bother on my behalf, Dean. I tell you, I'm through with all
no,
this.
No, no, Dean has a point. While the rest of you are snivelling about imagined pains, at least he's got the guts to stand up and face me. And why do you think that is?
Because he's a first-class dork with mush for brains.
Because he has an instinct to make himself attractive to the opposite sex.
Lydia.
And because he says what needs to be said.
Which is?
That enough is enough. The game is over. I'm sick of the lot of you.
You know something, Barney? Your sister is extraordinary.
I did try to warn you. She's crazy.
I don't know.
Dean, open the bloody envelope.
You really want me to?
Well, I've got to know sometime.
Okay, then.
Well.
Sorry, mate. I'm really sorry,
Jack. It doesn't matter.
Will she throw you out?
Well, who cares? There's really no point me going back time after time, Joe, so I can flunk my exams all over again. I need to get a life. Somehow.
What's she doing out there?
Personally, I couldn't care less.
Well, what's wrong with you, Laura? You got your bloody first, didn't you? You ought to be happy.
Leave her alone, Dean. Why don't you go outside and persuade the old slapper to come back in? You're the only one who can get through to her.
I wonder how she figured out about the jacuzzi.
Dean.
I'm going.
God, I wish we'd never come here.
Look, you get over it. Yeah. Believe me. Tomorrow she'll be so nice, you'll fall in love with her. Don't ask me to explain it.
What are you going to do now, Barney?
Get a job, I guess. If anyone will have me. I'd better get that.
Now I'm back in my dream. I walk over to stand by the window. And I hear that sound coming out of the night. I can just make out her pale face. And that long, dark wave of hair. A man's arm is resting lightly on her shoulder. And the other wrapping gently round her waist.
Dean? Is that you?
And then he turns towards me, and I see his face. And it's Dean. Dean with Lydia, holding her tenderly, like lovers do.
What are you doing out there?
In my dream, it seemed clear. But in my memory, it's different. Are they whispering? Are they holding hands? Is there anything there at all to suggest a hidden intimacy? I have no idea. I have no idea because at that very moment, Barney says my name.
Laura?
Yes?
I'm really sorry.
I don't understand.
You'd better pack some things and I'll take you to the station. You'll just have time to catch the milk train if we hurry.
Why, Barney? What's happened?
The phone call. Your father's been taken ill.
Well, how ill? Is it serious?
What's happened?
Laura's dad's had a heart attack.
Heart attack?
Oh, yeah, he's in hospital in London. Your mother's there with him.
I'll help you pack.
Oh, don't die, Dad. Please, God, don't die.
Come on, babe. Let's get your things. You want me to come with you?
Did he really say that? Did he offer to come with me? Then why did I go on my own? I don't know. All I know is that for the next 2 years, the only things I thought about were my dead and dying parents. And it wasn't till all that was over that I started to wonder what happened, if anything happened, between Lydia and Dean after I'd got on the train that night. And what it all meant for my relationship with Dean. It's 5 a.m, still dark, and there's no sound at all except the February rain falling relentlessly against the window. It must have been well before midnight when I got back from the Millennium launch. I spent several hours packing two large cases. It was probably 3 o'clock when the phone rang.
Laura and Dean's answer phone. I'm sorry neither of us can come to the phone right now, but please leave a message after the beep and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Laura, it's me. If you're there, will you pick up the phone?
She's not answering.
Laura, where the hell are you? If you get this message, I'm on my way home. I'll be home whenever.
It's almost 2.5 hours later when I hear his key in the door.
Why didn't you tell me about Lydia?
Oh, damn it, Laura. You scared the living daylights out of me.
Was it because I might leap to the right conclusion?
What? Wait. You're going to have to back up here a minute.
Oh, come on, Dean. You know perfectly well what I'm talking about. Why didn't you tell me Lydia was your new boss? Well, she is your new boss, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, so why don't you tell me?
Laura, could we talk about this tomorrow, please? I'm absolutely bush. I've been out all night.
I suppose it'd be too much to ask where.
You know where. You were with me, remember?
For about 5 minutes.
It was you who decided to leave.
And you left there over, 2 hours ago, according to the answer machine.
You heard me phone?
Yes, I heard your phone.
So why the hell didn't you pick it up? Have you any idea how worried I was?
So worried it took you 2.5 hours to come back and see if I was all
right. Laura, I was busy. I know you find this hard to believe. I have a job to do. Why do you think I'm doing all this?
I have no idea. Suppose you tell me.
Oh, not now, Laura, please, not now. I'm tired, it's late, I have a meeting at 10. Oh, good God, in 4.5 hours' time, I just can't do this now.
Just tell me why you didn't want me to know that Lydia was your new boss.
Oh, listen, I just didn't get round to telling you, that's all.
Hold on a minute, what exactly was there to get around to? I mean, why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you just say to me that Barney's sister Lydia, who treated us all so abysmally that night in Norfolk, was your new boss?
What night in Norfolk?
That party at Lydia's.
What party
just
at Lydia's?
Just after our finals.
Oh, we went to so many parties then.
The night we got our exam results.
Wait a minute.
The night my father died?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on, Dean.
Okay.
Of course you remember.
You want to know why I didn't tell you? I'll tell you. It's because you've always been so funny about that night.
Well, it was the most truly horrible night of my life.
I never understood what you hated so much.
What I hated so much was that getting our degree results, finding out we'd passed...
Yeah, finding out you'd got your first.
Yes, that should have been a happy... joyful experience.
For you?
But she turned it into something horrible, something quite sordid.
How did she do that?
I don't know. I don't know how she did it. I've been trying to think back and I still can't figure it out.
What if she didn't do it? What if she didn't do anything?
She was awful to Barney. You can't deny that,
no,
yeah?
You know I love Barney, but the truth is he's a lazy, good-for-nothing waster. It wasn't Lydia threatening to chuck him out that caused that.
If you ask me, it was the other way around. She let him hang around the house far too long, even after that night.
You've got all this figured out.
There isn't anything to figure out, Laura. Don't you get it?
Nope. I don't get it.
Laura, does it ever occur to you that your memory of that night is coloured beyond all recognition by what happened after it?
What happened after it?
Your parents.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that when your parents die, especially one so close to the other like that, it's a traumatic experience.
This isn't fair.
Of course it's not fair. It was tough on you. I can't even imagine. That phone call in the middle of the night, dropping everything to be there to see him again, to tell him about your results, and then when you got there...
He was already gone.
Exactly. I should have come with you, but...
Well, why didn't you come with me?
You insisted on going on your own.
Did I really, really insist?
Listen, why don't we both just go to bed? I'm sure you're going to feel better about it all in the morning.
Dean, could you please just tell me where you've been all night and please tell me the truth?
But you know where I've been.
You've been with her, haven't you?
With who?
With Lydia, for God's sake.
Yes, I've been with Lydia.
You bastard.
She's my boss, Laura. We work together. We have a meeting in the morning with one of our principal funders, and we have details to sort out.
Details?
Yes.
Details had to be sorted out at 5 a.m, after a huge party during which, by all accounts, both of you had more than enough to drink.
Laura, you have absolutely no idea what it's like in my job, have you?
No. Not if that's the way it is.
Then why the hell can't you just trust me?
Because you insist on treating me as though I'm either incurably paranoid or a complete idiot, which I'm not.
Not what?
Either of them.
So then just tell me what you want from
I
me.
I want the truth, Dean. Is that so hard to understand? I almost don't care at this point in time what that truth happens to be. I just want to be treated like an adult and be told the truth so that I can make my own mind up about what to do about the god-awful situation I seem to have found myself in.
It's not so god-awful. Why is it so god-awful?
Because you run me around till I don't know my back from my front.
You only have to ask.
Because I never get a straight answer to a single question I ask.
Which question?
Because I scream till I'm blue in the face for the truth and all I get is lies and half-truths.
For heaven's sake, just tell me what you want to know.
I want to know. I want to know. I want to know.
I've been working.
Just please, tell me. Are you having an affair with Lydia?
I need some sleep.
Why do you do this to me?
I need some sleep.
And that's when I realise I'm going to get nowhere. Whichever path I take, he's blocked off the road in front of me. Whichever direction I turn, I find only his contorted version of my life. But there's something still wrong with his version of things. Something to do with the tears.
Are you asleep?
Not yet.
Then tell me one thing.
What thing?
Why was I crying?
When?
That awful night.
Because of your dad?
Nope. I was crying before that.
You were upset.
Why was I upset?
Because of Laura.
Because of who?
Lydia. Because of Lydia.
Lydia.
You didn't like the game.
No. That's right, I didn't like Lydia's game, did I?
Crying.
And now I have my finger on it. Dean knows I was crying because of Lydia. This whole thing about my father was a smokescreen, and Dean's version of that night doesn't add up. Dean's version of Lydia doesn't add up. Dean's version of our relationship doesn't add up.
Laura. Lydia. They're pretty similar, aren't they?
Hmm.
Almost anyone could make the same mistake.
mistake.
Doesn't mean you don't love me. That's what I thought. Like that, he puts the world out. He looks so peaceful and innocent with his arms flung across the bed. Sometimes, not tonight, I lift back the cover so I can look at him, so that I can remember how it was in the beginning, before all this, when we met because of Helen in Cambridge.
Why did she do that? Why did she have to do that?
She was unhappy, I guess.
We're all unhappy.
Are we?
Well, sometimes we are.
Yeah, but not unhappy like Helen was.
She should have asked for help.
She did ask for help.
Who did she ask?
She asked me.
Oh, and you helped her?
I gave her my notes, Dean. I didn't help her. The truth is, I wanted her to go away so I could get on with my own work.
So many college relationships were born, bruised and blooded out of the social scrum. But Dean and I just started chatting because of Helen and found that we liked each other.
Did you really mean that about being unhappy?
Oh, I'm not unhappy.
But are you happy?
Don't ask me such difficult questions.
You must know if you're happy or not.
If you ask me, it's nonsense. Look at us all, chasing after happiness. You look for it here and it isn't there, so what do? You go chasing after it somewhere else. And then one day, you look up and you realise all you've ever done your whole life is run around like a crazy thing, looking for something that was never there to be had.
So, what do we all do instead, Dean Finch?
Don't ask me, I haven't got a clue.
Oh, sit and wait for happiness to come to us.
Laura.
What?
Do you look at everyone that way?
Nope.
Then why are you looking at me that way?
Don't you know?
No. I'm not sure. Laura.
What?
There's something I need to tell you.
There's nothing you need to tell me.
No, wait. There's something important.
Tell me later.
Helen lives in Bristol now. As far as I can tell, she's got 3 children, 4 cats, a horse, 2 dogs, and a goat. And all the dark days are far behind her, because she put them behind her.
And that's what I'm going to do, Dean. It's not about running after happiness or about running away from unhappiness. It's just about life. About doing justice to my life. You do understand that, don't you, Dean? I thought you would. My taxi's waiting. I have to go.
Bye.
Bye.
If I wasn't all cried out, I'd shed some tears for us. If I wasn't absolutely sure I'm doing the right thing, I'd turn right back, pull my clothes off, curl up against Dean and go to sleep. God knows I want to. But I don't. Because I know that the old life doesn't work anymore.
Liverpool Street Station, please.
And because I know there's a new life waiting for me somewhere, and I'm going out to find it.